The Mishnah tells us in Chul, in Perikid Anash, in Perikid Kol HaBasar, that when you have Basar B'chalov that's Asa min HaTorah, it's Asa B'hanoah. When you have Basar B'chalov that's Asa mid Rabbanan, it's only Asa B'achil and Muta B'hanoah. So take, for example, if by mistake I cook meat with milk together, so that's a real Basar B'chalov there, right? So if we paskin chicken and milk as a machlokes HaTanoim, we paskin that's only Basar B'chalov the Rabbanan, that would be Muta B'hanoah. But if you cook meat with milk together and you have no shishim and one against the other, that would be bas b'chalav there, right? So that would be osmano. So what do I do with it? So let's say I have the goyishe cleaning lady. So I want to give her a gift to have this bas b'chalav. So if I'm going to give her a gift, then I'm getting hanoah because she's going to be makatoiba to me. She's going to do a favor for me in exchange. Now that would be considered a violation of isuri hanoah. If I'll just give it to a goy whom I don't know, I'll walk out in the street and stop the first car who stopped at the red light, and I'll say, I have some non-kosher food, I'll give it to him. That would be a violation of a different Isser. The Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, Loisechonim, you know, the three different levels of interpretation on the Pasuk, it's a difficult verb, Loisechonim. So one level of interpretation is you're not permitted to give a matan schinim to a nochri. If you give something to a nochri hamakiro, to your next door neighbor, to your cleaning lady, that's not considered a matan schinim because they're probably going to do you some favor back in exchange. But then if going to do you back a favor in exchange, then it's a violation of Isuri Hanoah. Let's say by mistake I cook chicken with milk, that's muta b'hanoah, it's also b'achila. So if I give it to a goy whom I don't know, that'll be a violation of lo isachon. If I give it to a nochri hamakiro, then the next door neighbor, he's my Shabbos goy. He turns on the lights for me, he does things for me. I give it to the cleaning lady, so that's not a violation of Lois Echonim, that's not considered a Matan Schinim. So if it's Osa Bahanoah, then it's considered a form of getting Hanoah. I'm going to give it to a Nochri Hamakiro, because I'm sure that I'm going to get something back in exchange. And if it's Muta Bahanoah, then it would be okay. What's the din if a person cooks fleshiks in a milchik pot? Is that, and we usually assume you don't have shishim in what's cooked in the pot, against the thickness of the walls. Unless rare cases, if you have in a factory, it's very common that you will have shishim because the pots are the size of this room. But if you have a normal pot in a house, in Shulchan Aruch, we assume shloshim usually do have and shishim usually do not have. So what's the din? Is that possible b'chalav der, right? Is that possible b'chalav der rabbanan? By mistake, a person cooked flesh in a milchik pot. So if the milchik pot hadn't been used for milk in the last 24 hours, that's called the kli she'ena ben yomo. So then the Gemara has the comment, lo yosef terel kadera bas yoyme. When the Chumash says in the end of the Chumash Bamidbar that they had to kasha all the tray for pots and pans that they took from Midyan, from the Midyanim, from the army, after the Melchama, so the Gemara says, they only have to kasha the pots and the pans min ha-Torah if it's still within 24 hours after they were used for treifas. After 24 hours goes by, min ha-Torah, it's permissible to use it. You don't have to kasher it. The whole need to kasher is only mid rabbanan. Why don't you have to kasher after 24 hours? Because we assume that that's what we call nosen tam levgam. The treif of flavor that got absorbed in the doifne hakdeira was sitting with metal for the last 24 hours. So the metallic flavor will do a job on the flavor of the treifas in the pot, and the milchiks, or the fleshiks in the pot. It'll make a nice and time of gam. It'll be nifsal. The Rabbanan, they made exera. The Rabbanan exera ain't a ben yoma. The ben yoma made exera because you may make a mistake. Let's say min ha-Torah, you don't need two sets of dishes. You don't need two sets of pots and pans. You just have to put a label on it. When was it used last for milchiks? And I'll write down the date and the hour, and then I'll wait 24 hours, and then I'll be allowed to use it for the other. Or let's say I used it for treifas. I've got Goyish workers, and they use the pots and the pans for treifas. So I'll just put on a label when it was used for treifas. Then 24 hours later, I'll be able to use it without kashering it. So the Chachamim were afraid the labels are going to get all mixed up. The label is going to fall off, and it's going to be on the other pot. You may be using a kli ben yomo, thinking that it's the kli she'ena ben yom. So they made exera the rabbanon that you always have to kasher the treifa kli, even if it hasn't been used for 24 hours. So let's say, what's the din? I have a milchik pot that was, I did cook milchiks in it within the last 24 hours, now I cook fleshiks. So that's not permissible. Is that possible b'chalav der, right? And I don't have shishim. You normally don't have shishim in what you're cooking in pot connected to nehakli. So that would that be possible b'chalav der, right? Would you say, no, that's not derech bishul asatar. Derech bishul, a person wants to wants his meat to have a milky flavor, to have a buttery flavor. He wants his milchiks to have a little fleshy flavor. So he cooks it in a fleshy pot. A normal person, if you want it to have a fleshy flavor, so you pour a little schmaltz in. If you want it to have milchik flavor, you put in a little butter. You don't put it, you don't cook it in a fleshy pot or a milchik pot. So that's a machlekes achrenim. Some achrenim say, if I would have been asked, I would have said that it's only the rabbanim. Some achrenim say, I wasn't asked, and they're not interested in my opinion. So all the big achrenim say that that's basa b'cholav deraisa, and it's also b'hanoah. If it would have only been basa b'cholav rabbanim, it would have been muta b'hanoah. Yeah. What's with this gzeirah the rabbanim that the Gemara says the last daf maseches avodah zarah, even though in the Torah a cliche ain't a ben yomah, hasn't been used for treifas, it has been used for treifas in the last 24 hours, but in the Torah you don't have to kasher with the rabbanim, you do have to kasher. So there's a machlekes harishanim whether that only applies to isurah bala or even to hetera bala. Everybody has two sets of dishes. What do you need two sets of dishes? Just wait 24 hours and then you can use it for the opposite. So obviously we assume that the Gzera de Rabbanan, Neina Ben Yomah, Ata Ben Yomah, was not only instituted with respect to Trefus, it was instituted with respect to Fleshiks and Milchiks as well. The Ra'oh was always an original thinker. Rabbaran Alevi was a descendant of Rabbein Ezrachi Alevi. Rabbein Ezrachi Alevi, the author of the Sefer Amor, can always rely on the Baal Amor for something original. And his grandson, Rabbeinu Aaron Alevi, who had a brother, Rabbeinu Pinchas Alevi, they're always original, always something different from everybody else. See, he only had one set of dishes. He didn't have fleshig's milk, he had one set of dishes, and he held that the Gzera de Rabbanan was only instituted with respect to Yisurim. They never made it with respect to Hetera Bala. Maybe the reason why is because he thought that it wouldn't be Basa B'chol of their eyes anyway. Maybe like I thought before, if you cook fleshig's in a milchig pot, will it become Osam in HaTorah? Will it only become Osam in the Rabbanan? So it becomes asam and atar. So why shouldn't they make the gzeira ena ben yomah ata ben yomah? Why shouldn't it be the same as by treifakli? Maybe he thought like the minority opinion that would only be basa b'cholad rabbanon. The worst it could be is basa b'cholad rabbanon. So it'd be a gzeira l'gzeira. Whatever, that was his opinion. So the Ritvo in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah quotes this Rabbaran Alevi, and he says the Talmidim pleaded with the Rebbe, we know that you're right, we all agree that you're right, but everybody calls you a sheget, said you only have one set of dishes and one set of pots of dishes, just make everybody happy, why don't you have two sets of dishes? He says, no, it's a matter of principle. Right is right and wrong is wrong, and that's all. He's not going to give in, you only need one set of dishes. So we don't paskin like Rabbaran Alevi, but Rabbi Akiva Eger and other paskim and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, they take this into consideration as a tzad lahokel, if you have other tzirufim as well. For example, let's say the gzer de rabbanan ena b'yamba, ata b'yamba was instituted if the trefa kli hasn't been used for trefas in the last 24 hours. What if the trefa kli hasn't been used in the last year, hasn't been used in 12 months, in the last year? So there is a gemar maseches avodah zarah where the gemar says if you have barrels that were used for stam yenam, and the stam yenam is balu in the barrel, if the barrels were empty for the last 12 months, you des chodesh, then you don't have to kasher them. So that's a big machlekes achrenim. Is that a special kulan stam yenam? Because stam yenam is only a chumra midirabbanan. It's a gzer mishum b'nei seyim. The real reason why they prohibited drinking wine manufactured by non-Jews is because they're afraid that you may enjoy the wine so much, you may marry the manufacturer's daughter so that you'll have a lifetime supply of this wine. Tosis points out they would never have made the gzeira because of chashash nisach, because it's so far-fetched. The guy's going to be menasach the wine for Avodah Zarah, then he's going to let me drink it. If he's really an Ovid Avodah Zarah, he's going to be medactic that he should only use the wine that he was menasach l'Avodah Zarah for Avodah Zarah purposes, not going to let a human being drink it. So that's far-fetched. But the Tosis explains, once they made the Gzera the Rabbanan because of Bnei Seim, because of the Chashash of intermarriage, then they threw in this additional Tosefes Chumra, that even if you have kosher wine that was processed by Jewish people, and there's no Chashash of Bnei Seim, but if it's handled by a non-Jew, if it's a non-Jew touches the wine, or a non-Jew pours the wine, Koichai is Gzera the Rabbanan, Otu Maga Akum, so then they threw in the Gzera of Chashash Nisuch as well. So the whole gzeira of stam yenam, the whole thing is that it's not really macholos asuris, it's mishum b'nei seihem. And the chashash that it may be menasach, it is very far-fetched. They have a lot of kulas in stam yenam. So most of the poskim hold that this kula that if the barrels of wine had not been used for treif wine in the last 12 months, there's no need to kasha them. Must hold that it's only a kula in stam yenim. Doesn't apply to other treifas, other situations of treifas. The Chacham Tzvi stands out alone. She was Chacham Tzvi. He was lived in the 1700s. He was the father of Rabbi Yankiv Emden. So the Chacham Tzvi was an Ashkenazi, but he lived in Vilna originally, at the same time as the Shach, but then they had to run away because of the Chmelnytsky riots. When he ran away, he became a Chacham by the Svardim, but he didn't start off as a Chacham. He started off as an Ashkenazi. So the Chacham Tzvi has this tshuva where he thinks that the kula of Yud Beis Chodesh applies to all treifa kelim. So we really don't hold like the Chacham Tzvi. The Hasidim rely on the Chacham Tzvi. On Pesach, they don't eat gebroks except for the last day of Pesach, the eighth day of Pesach. They want to eat, they make a point of eating gebroks, so that it shouldn't be a kitrug against those who don't have the chumrah of gebroks. Min HaShemayim, they shouldn't punish the misnagdim who don't observe the chumrah of gebroks. So the Chassidim eat gebroks on the last day, they demonstrate that it's mikar adin, it's really muta, it's not chametz. So the question is, but if they have gebroks on the last day, so they just made their kelim chametzdik. If they're choshish that the gebroks makes it chametzdik, maybe some of the matzah that's not fully baked. So they just made all the Pesach dik kelim chametzdik. So how can they use it next year? So they rely on this Chacham Tzvi, that it's only a chumra, the whole gebroks only a chumra. That's why they makel, that's why they go out of their way to have it on the last day Pesach. So when it comes next year, it's already almost Yud Bei Chodesh. It's not exactly, they're missing a couple of days, unless it's a Shanim Uberis. So it's almost Yud Beis Chodesh, so they rely on the almost Chacham Tzvi b'negiat to the Chumre of Gibrok. So sometimes we are mitzaref this Ra'or. Rav Moshe Feinstein has the Shaila. The grandmother passed away, and the grandmother was kosher, and she had a set of china, but nobody, it's already so many years, nobody used it, nobody remembers whether that's Chametzdik, whether that's Fleishigam Milchik. They don't remember whether the silverware is Fleishigam Milchik. So strictly speaking, you should really say Sveika the Rabbana Lakula. That's Taka the Din. The Din is like this. Let's say I have pots and pans. I have silverware. I don't know if it's kosher or treif, but I know for sure whatever. Even if it was treif, it's already after 24 hours. So if the latest asofik, if the shaila begins by me. After it's already Ein Ben Yomo, so strictly speaking, then you say it's a Sveika de Rabbana Lekula. Because once the Kli hasn't been used for Trefus, hasn't been used for Milchik's place or whatever, 24 hours, so the whole need to kasher it is only Mid Rabbana. So that would be a Sveika de Rabbana Lekula. If the latest Asafik occurs within 24 hours, then it's a Sveika de Raisa Lechumre, so then it doesn't help even if you're going to wait 24 hours afterwards. And by now it's only a Sveika de Rabbana, and you don't have the right to be Mekel. That's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger refers to in the Tshuvas and all the poskim quoted. That's called a Sveika Deraisa Shinis Galgali or Sveika Derabbanan. It started off as a Sveika Deraisa Luchumra, because the latest Asafik, whether the pots and pans are kosher or not, began in the, well, it's still a Ben Yomo. So it's a real Sveika Deraisa, whether you're allowed to use pot. So at the time of the latest Asafik, the din required you have to go to Luchumra. So even if you wait 24 hours now, and now the whole issue became the Rabbanan, since B'shas latest Asafik, it was a Sveika Deraisa, they have to go L'chumra. So let's say Rabbi David Feinstein is Mekel. Let's say you have some caterer is under some conservative Hashgacha. So you can't rely on conservative Hashgacha. But it's not a Vadai that it's Treif. It's a Sufik Treif. So if by the time I get the Kalim, it's for sure Ein Ben Yomai. So then many would follow Rav David Feinstein's opinion that would be a Sveika de Rabbana Lekula. But if the Sufik would be, the Sufik on using the Trefik Kelim would be within 24 hours, that's a Sveika de Raisa. So even if you wait 24 hours, you have no right to say Sveika de Rabbana Lekula, that's a Sveika de Raisa. Shinis Galgalias Sveika de Rabbana. So let's say you have this case. The grandmother died, then we don't know whether this is a fleshik set or a milchik set. Nobody remembers what it is. Let's say there are two sets, and we don't remember which is which. So you can't say what you'll be mekel on both. I'll just make up my mind. I'm going to go. It's a sveika de rabbanan because it's already after 24 hours. So you have a right to be mekel on everything. I'll use this for fleshik and for milchik and shayin. Maybe it's all wrong. So Moshe Feinstein has it's Dodim Lahakel. So he says, well, on the one hand, there are all holds on Hatera Bala, there's no Xer, there are Banavenim at Yom. And then you always have the Chacham Tzvi to rely on that after 12 months, you don't have to kasha anything, even if it was Vadai Treif. And it's already Eni Ben Yomo anyway, so it could be that it's the right thing. So then he says, then there's room to be Mekum. So Rabbi Kivege has these kind of discussion, these kind of cheshbonos. What do you do if you have a tray for Kli? If it's a China, yeah, if it's a China ware, so then you are able to kasher it. China, we cannot kasher. The Chumash says that if you have a Kli Nechoshes and you cook the Korban Chatas in it, so the Bliya of the Korban Chatas is going to become Nifsal Belina when it comes Alois HaShachat tomorrow morning. Chatas Nechel Yom Belailo. All night long, so let's say I cook the Korban Chatas today. Today's Tuesday. So the Kohanim will eat up the Korban Chatas, but the Bliya in the pot will become Noisar when it comes tomorrow morning, Alois HaShachar. So the Torah says you have to kasha the pot. That's called Mariko Shtifa. You have to kasha the pot in order that it shouldn't become Noisar. But then the Chumash says, Vim Kli. But if you cooked it in a kli cheres, then yishover. Then hagola doesn't help. So the Gemara points out that even though hagola doesn't help on a kli cheres, but libun would help. If you do libun, it would help. Libun means you put it, two kinds of libun. The Shulchan Aruch we call there's a libun chomer and there's a libun kal. So the halacha says whenever hagola would have been sufficient on the kli. So then Libun Kal would be sufficient. And whenever you really need Libun, it's Arik Redin, then you need Libun Chomer. What's Libun Chomer? What's Libun Kal? So it's usually assumed, in America we usually assume, that Libun Kal means 550 degrees. So let's say I have a Trefa Kli that needs Hagola, and it's a nuisance to do Hagola, so I can put it inside my oven, turn on the oven to broil, and the broil will be 550 degrees, leave it for half an hour or so. The whole kli may break, okay? You're running a risk. The whole kli may break, but if it's a metal thing, it's not going to break. So that would be the equivalent of libun kal. A libun kal can substitute for hagola. But if you have a kli that really needs a libun, then you need libun chamor. So just turning out to 550 degrees is not sufficient. You have to have something like 950 degrees, much higher. So if you have a self-cleaning, you have a continually cleaning oven, that's not high enough. But if you have a self-cleaning oven, that's mamish libun chomer. So if you have a kli cheres, and it became treif, so the Torah says hagola is no good. So the Gemara says libun would be good. The Gemara says we have a chumra. The Gemara says m'sochim is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It's quoted in the piyut for Shabbos Hagadol. Some people recite the long piyut that has all the dinim Pesach there. So the Gemara says that if you have a kli cheres and it requires libun, so we would be choishesh that you would probably be afraid to do a real libun because you'd be afraid the whole kli would crack, which it probably will. If you have a china dish and you put it in an oven and a kiln, you put it in an oven that's going to be 950 degrees, it's going to break. So the Gemara made a gzera derabanan that you can't do libun. You may be afraid that it's going to break. So the Darkei Tshuva quotes the Poskim and say, let's say Bayasi, you have a self-cleaning oven. So when the oven is on the self-cleaning, when you push that button, the door is locked and you can't open it up. So then the Poskim would be make on such a situation. You wouldn't say that you don't allow Libun, Dilma Chayus Allah, Dilma Paki. The door is locked. There's nothing. The locked door to the oven is locked. There's no way that he can get it out. So then we would be makel that libun would be good. That libun would be good, right? So even though we paskin that, even though it says in Chumash that you can't rely on hagola on a kli cheres, the Torah quotes some of the Rishonim who came up with an idea. That once the kli is ainah ben yomo, the whole need for hagola is only midirabbanan, and the Yerushalmi says that if you have a kli cheres that was bolea tevel bizman hazeh, we assume that trumas and maisis bizman hazeh is only the rabbanan. So let's say if a person cooked the tevel bizman hazeh, which is only a chumer midirabbanan, if he cooked an any klicheres, so then the Yerushalmi says, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, that Hagola Gimel Pamim would help, even on the klicheres. What is Hagola Gimel Pamim? So the Chazanish explained, it does mean that you dip it in three times. Why does it help to dip it in three times? Why not just hold it for 10 seconds? That's the equivalent of dipping in three times. So he says, no, Hagola Gimel Pamim means you dip it into three different pots of burning hot water. Maybe one pot didn't work, maybe the other pot will work, maybe the first two pots didn't work, maybe the third pot will work. After Ha'idah Klicheres, that we're not always convinced that all of the Trefa B'liya is going to come out. But if you do Hagola Gimel Pamim, then it's a suffix. So Hagola Gimel Pamim wouldn't help on a real Issa Deraisa, it'll only make it a Sveka Deraisa. The Sveka Deraisa, it'll be a Sveka Deraisa L'chomer. But if the whole B'liya in the first place was only an Issa Derabbanon, then you can say that Sveka Derabbanon L'kulam. That's where Abitzel Panavezha has in his Sefer Zecha Yitzchak. He thinks that what if you have a klicheres was boleya a suffix isa deraisa. So he said he thinks that Hagola Gimel Pamim would help because it's mitam sfek sfeke. Maybe whenever you do Hagola Gimel Pamim, he considers that like a suffix. So if the whole maybe the Hagola did work. Atarik Haido klicheres that when you do one Hagola, you can't be assured that it was taken care of. If you do three times Hagolah and three different Kelim, Zach, Hazeh, and Nikli Cheres, that's a suffix that may be at work. So if the whole Issa is only the Rabbanon in the first place, then there's room to make a Hagolah Gimel Pamim. And if the Issa was a Deraisa, suffix Deraisa L'chumer, but if it's a suffix in the first place, whether it was Balea, any Trefus. Let's say they caught this butcher who supplied us with the meat, they caught him that he was selling non-kosher meat. So you don't know whether you're the lucky winner, did you buy non-kosher meat or did you buy kosher meat? And even if you did buy trefa meat, but you're going to do Hagola Gimel Pamim on your china, so maybe Hagola Gimel Pamim does help. So then Rabbi Tzela Panavizha thinks that there would be room to be mekel mitam sveik sveik. Very questionable. Rabbi Tzela Panavizha was known as a super genius and he used to give fantastic shurim out of this world, but l'psak halacha, they never accepted anything he said, because everything was a little too short. So I think this also was never accepted, but it's analyzing the inyanim, it's an interesting idea. What's the Hagol Gimel Pamim all about? So that's what the Tur quotes, some rishonim were of the opinion that whenever you have a trefa kli, that's ein ben yomo, whenever you have a kli cheres, that's ein ben yomo, so Hagol Gimel Pamim would be good. Because just like any Issa de Rabbanon. So that was never accepted. So that's where Rabbi Moshe Feinstein is relying on Rabbi Kiveger. If you have a tzir of avod, it's dadim lahakil. Not only it's China ware, and not only are you going to do Hagol Gimel Pamim, but it's already after 12 months, and you have the Chacham Tzvi would be mekel, you don't have to kasher at all, and it's a terabola, so coming to the Ra'od is room to be mekel. So a mitzarif, in difficult situations, we mitzarif a different dadim lahakil. This din that a cliche ain't a ben yomo midirabonon lachatchili, you're not allowed to cook in the tray for cliche ain't a ben yomo. But b'di'evit, let's say if you did cook, so we would say that it doesn't make the food treif. That's only an isa lachatchila. Yeah. So Taisvis in Maseches Avodah Zarah has a kula that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and the kula grunts as follows: Shas hatchak k'di'evit dami. B'shas hatchak we allow lachatchila something which would only be permissible otherwise permissible only b'di'evit. So let's say Taisa says like this: Al alechem yichya ha'adam. Pasuk says lo al alechem levado yichya ha'adam. But in the days of until recently, it was al alechem yichya ha'adam. In America, it may not necessarily be so. Years ago, people, the main part of the meal was the people had eight slices of bread, and then they had a little piece of flesh, and a little bit, they made a little butter, whatever. When you go to learn in the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, so the Israelis a lot of times, they're always eating a lot of slices of bread. The Americans are not used to that at all. So because al alechem yichyadam, years ago, bread was the main part of the meal, and the Jews didn't have their own bakeries. Bakers apparently never made it rich. The Jews were always interested in making money, so they never had bakeries. So they had to rent the right to use the Goyish bakery. The Goyim used to bake their bread with lard. So the baking tins, the kalim that they put the bread on, had a trefa blia. So they would wait 24 hours. The Goyim wouldn't let them kasher the baking tins. So how am I going to have bread? So Tosfos says, Shas hatchak, we allow lachatchila. Well, usually it's only muta b'di'evit, so you're permitted to bake lachatchila kosher bread on the trefa baking tin that's ein ben yomo, Because bread is considered a necessity of life. That's called Shas Atchaka Di'Avadami. So the poskim write, what if it's an ice cream factory, and they have parva ice cream and they have milchik ice cream? You want to have parva ice cream, and they don't let you kasher. You can't kasher. So can you, or let's say they have, or let's say they have treif ice cream and kosher ice cream, and they don't let you kasher. They don't let you kasher, something like that. So would you say that the Bishas Atchak, absolutely essential to have parva ice cream, to have ice cream, kosher ice cream, we just say Shas Atchak Kedi Evadam, we would be mekel, you're allowed to do the run of the ice cream and the trefik kli anyway. So the contemporary poskim say, you can live without the whole ice cream. That's not called Shas Atchak. The Rishonim emphasized, al alechem yichyeho adam, that's why it's a Shas Atchak. We're not mekel on other things. This kula, Tesis has that kula, the Shas Atchak, we're mekel, Shas Atchak Kedi Evadam. If you have a kli that's not balei at all, so you don't have to kasher anything. There's nothing to discuss. That's a beferish gemara. Psachim. What about glass? Glassware. So that's a machlek. The mechaber and the ramos and the mechaber the rishonim talking about. So the mechaber follows those. The spardim follow the mechaber who says that the glass is simply not balea. Just have to make sure there's no bien on it. So you can use the glass for fleshings, for milchins, for treifas, whatever, and you don't have to kasher it. And the ramos has this in Hilchas Pesach. The Mechaber has all the dinim of Hagol and Hilchas Pesach, so the Ramo has in Hilchas Pesach, he says that Ashkenazim HaMachmer, that not only that glass is balea, since glass is made from sand, the same material, you start off with the same material that you would make Kli Cheres from, so we treat the glass dishes and glasses as Kli Cheres, that Hagolah doesn't even help. So there's a Machlokes Achreinim, what did the Ramo mean to say? So there's some Achreinim who understood that the Ramah's Chumrah is only a Chumrah by Pesach. He never meant it all year long. So all year long you can taka have glass dishes, use it for fleshiks and milchiks and do whatever you want. Obviously that is not the generally accepted opinion by Ashkenazim. We assume that the Ramah wrote that the Shulchan Aruch has all the dinim of Hagol and Liban and Hilchas Pesach, and Yeridei tells you look in Hilchas Pesach. So when the Ramah wrote that Ashkenazim HaMachmeh, that glass is like Kli Cheres and Hagol doesn't even help, it's not only for Pesach, it's for Treifus also like that, where Machmer. Prima Gordon wants to say that maybe the Chumas HaRamah is only if there's an issue there, if it's only the Rabbanim, maybe there would be room to be Mekel. For example, let's say a guy had a cup of burning hot milk. Some people drink warm milk. Okay, so someone cooked milk and then they put it into a glass. And then within 24 hours, they want to pour hot, burning hot chicken soup into the glass. So chicken with milk is only basa b'chol ha'drabbanan. So the Prima Gadim says that maybe the Chumas HaRamah only applies to something there I said to be concerned about. If it's only chicken with milk, maybe there's room, maybe the Ramah's Chumah never applied. I think the minig is not like that. I think the minig usually is that we wouldn't use the glasses for burning hot chicken soup and for burning hot milk. Stainless steel is an issue because stainless steel is treated chemically in such a way that it's bolei even less than glass. Glass has such a mashu who have a blia. In truth, we know that the Mechaber is right, that the glass is not bolei. The stainless steel is bolei less than the glass. So that's a shaila. Why don't all the Rabbanim of the world get together and say that stainless steel is not bolei? So if all the Rabbanim of the world will get together, we'll bring Mashiach. So Mashiach will pass. Okay, so we're working on that. We're working on bringing all the Rabbanim together. Yeah. What's the din? Let's say a person will cook inside the oven. He'll cook flesh and milchiks at the same time. Or he'll be baking. They'll be doing their chicken for Shabbos. And they'll be baking the challis at the same time in the same oven. So lechatchila we are choshish. The Rishonim say lechatchila we choshish that recha. The Gemara has a whole sugi where the Reicha Milsa, Reicha La Milsa. The Gemara's discussion is B'dieved, where the Reach asks B'dieved. But L'chatchila, for sure, we treat it like a Mashahu. And we would say that that would be a violation of Eimavat and Isa L'chatchila. To have fleshiks and milchiks at the same time, or to have fleshiks and challah at the same time. And you want to use the challah for milchiks. So L'chatchila, we would say that Reicha is like a Mashahu, and that would be a violation. What did Bidiyevit, a person did fleshiks and milchiks, or fleshiks and chala at the same time, what a din of Bidiyevit? So the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say fleshiks and milchiks, Bidiyevit, we would distinguish between a tarakotn and a tarakotl. It depends how big the tanur is. So our tanurim, a normal oven, has a vent in the back and everything goes out. So we would be mekel b'diyevet. We would consider our ovens as a tanur gadol and b'diyevet a wooden das. We have a klal in the Gemara.
When Erev Shavuos, I make the cheesecake in the morning and I want to make the meat afterwards. What do I have to do then?
Yeah, the Ramah says that b'zach hazeh is not a problem. The Pashta says even within 24 hours. B'zach hazeh means I did the cheesecake, I turn off the fire and I open up the door of the oven until it goes down to room temperature. If it goes down to room temperature, then I can use the exact same oven for fleshings. Moshe Feinstein had a chumrah that within 24 hours it'll even asa b'diyeved. So they kept on asking him, isn't it against the Shulchan Aruch? So he writes in the beginning of the tshuva, I'm an old man and I have no koach to write tshuvas, but people say what I said is against the Shulchan Aruch. I have to write another tshuva. So he writes the tshuva, still against the Shulchan Aruch. So they write another tshuva. I don't know. So still against the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that it's mutter. B'zach hazeh is mutter. So I know Rabbi Schwab here in the neighborhood, he used to be the rabbi here in the neighborhood, he said he doesn't follow Rabbi Moshe Feinstein's Chumrah. He told me the name of a Pesach, Rabbi Moshe Zimmerman. He told me a big Pesach in Brooklyn. He follows his opinion that what it says in the Ramah, that B'zach HaZeh is Mutter. Yeah. The Gemara says in the first parak in Avodah Zarah, have you never traveled through the city Tzor, where Jews and non-Jews stay in the same motel, and they both use the kitchen, and the Jew will be cooking a pot of kosher food right next to the pot that the non-Jew is cooking, and it doesn't make a trafe just because the goyish pot is right next to the kosher pot. So Tosis comments on that Gemara that the simple reading of the Gemara implies that the two pots are touching each other, mamish, one next to each other like this. And the klal that the Gemara is saying is the ein kli b'alei mikli below rotev. If there's no moisture in between one kli and the other, here's the trafe kli, here's the kosher kli. So the two are touching, so the bliya doesn't go through and through the walls unless there's moisture. Let's say if something will spill over, then the bliya can go through. But if nothing is going to spill over, if we have stainless steel pots, so we should still consider the possibility that the stainless steel, the bliya doesn't go through and through. The bliya doesn't go at all, but we're ignoring that for the meanwhile. So that's the klal and shulchan aruch. The enkli, balem, ekli. A lot of times you have in a factory, you'll have two pipes, mamish, touching each other. One pipe will be a kosher run, kosher food, and one pipe will be that'll be designated, dedicated kosher, and the other one will be always used for treifas. And the pipes are touching each other, and we assume that it's even mutar lechatchila. Ein kli b'alei mekli b'alei roitev is even lechatchila.
What about the condensation?
So if you have condensation, then you have a roitev. So if it's going to be burning hot, then there's another cloud, there's no b'liya b'tzaynin. Let's say I have a trefer plate and I want to eat some kosher food, but everything is cold. Let's say I go to a trefer restaurant and I order an apple. So they give me an apple on a plate. So the apple is cold and the plate is cold, everything is cold. So nothing is trefe. If everything is cold, nothing is trafe. Even if the thing is lukewarm, if you put something lukewarm on a plate, on a trafe plate, also doesn't make trafe unless it's chamen. There's no belief in what's chamen. Chamen is yatzoledes. How much is yatzoledes? So we were learning Shabbos this year. It's a question. So we're the kashrus organizations here are machma anything above 120. And the Shmir Shabbos Kolchosin wants to be machma 100, but what was it again? 114. Shver Cheshbon 114 is a little bit humorous what he writes. So here we're machmer above 120, it's also chumer. It really should be much higher than 120. Sometimes there can be a bliya. Let's say if someone was soaking blood is trace, someone was soaking blood in a kli for more than 24 hours, and then you say, kovish kemevushal. Or let's say if you have kosher fish and non-kosher fish, everything is cold, nothing at room temperature, everything is room temperature, but everything has a lot of salt on it. They'll never do it. In the fish stores, they don't like to mix two different fishes because the flavor is going to mix together. Nothing to do with religious reasons. The goyish fish stores will not mix different fishes, and they're gonna wash off the knife. Usually, they're gonna wash off the knife in between when they cut up trefa fish and kashrut. They're always gonna wash off the knife. They don't want to mix the flavors. But the din is that if they salt it, it'll never come up. Once in a while, if you salt a trefa fish together with kosher fish, a trefa meat together with kosher meat, even though everything is cold, room temperature. But if you have a heavy salt, then you say Moliach Karasech, that salt will cause a treif of bliya to go in. And Kavish is Kimavushal. Usually the rule is that there's no bliya bitzayin. Let's say you have, by mistake, the Shulchan Aruch discusses this. Let's say you took the lid from a milchik pot and put it on top of a fleshik pot. You're cooking fleshik on the bottom and the lid is on top. So the lid is not touching the food on the bottom. I have, let's say, the milchik lid is not touching the flesh on the bottom. So the Shulchan Aruch says, but when you pick up the lid, you'll see that there's thick steam. If you'll see that there's thick steam there, that's called hevel. So hevel is dina kiraitev. So just like if you have reitev, burning hot reitev, yatzah lettuce, so the reitev will cause the bliya to come from the pot into the kosher food and make it treif. So too, if you have hevel, if you have thick steam that goes up to the lid, so that's considered as if there's reitev, as if there's burning hot liquid that can bring the milchik bliya from the lid into the flesh on the bottom. So that's the klal, hevel dina kiraitev. So the achrayim say that that's only if you have, so what about in the oven? Let's say you cook fleshiks in the oven, you cook milchiks in the morning, then you cook fleshiks in the afternoon. So if it's within 24 hours, Rav Moshe Feinstein says it makes a treif. So the Darkei Tshuva by the Munkacher writes that this klal, hevel dina kiraitev, is only if you have thick steam. If you're cooking soup in a pot and you pick up the lid and you put your head there, you're going to get burnt because there's thick steam there. A klal of thick steam. So hevel is dina kiraitev. But you just have zeyah. Zeyah is when you open up the oven, there's never any thick steam. But we assume there's always invisible evaporation. So Zeyah, the invisible evaporation, does exist. And if you're cooking milchiks in the oven, so the milchik Zeyah will be absorbed into the walls of the oven, into the roof and the sides of the oven. And when you cook fleshiks in the oven, so the invisible evaporation of the fleshiks will be Nivla. But it's not going to come back down. When I'm going to cook the fleshiks in Erev Yontem in the afternoon, the milchik bli is not going to fly down again. The milchik bli only flies down if you have hevel, if you have thick steam. So thick steam is dina kiraitev, it'll bring a bli in both directions. But if you have zeya, so the Darkei Tshuva writes that that's only one directional. Zeya will cause a bli to become nivlin to the walls of the oven, but it won't be able to succeed to bring the bli out and back into the food on the bottom. Whenever you have to kasher something, so the Torah says that there are two forms of kashering, there's hagola and there's libun. So the Gemara on the last staff of Maseches Avodah Zarah points out that in Parshas Tzav, the Chumash only talks about hagola, doesn't say a word about libun. By Giuli Klei Midyon, at the end of Chumash Bamidbar, when the Jews won the war against the Midyanim and they captured all of the pots and pans and the silverware and everything, so they were told that some of the kelim need hagola, some need libun. When do you need libun? When you were broiling the treifis al gabi ha'esh mamish, and there was no mashke, there was no roitev. Let's say you have a broiler, so there is no roitev over there. If you cook ham in a pot full of water, so then you don't need libun, all you need is hagola. And if you broil the ham on a broiler, or even on a frying pan, where machmer that frying is also, as far as treif is concerned, frying also requires libun. So then, if it's mamash al gabi ha'esh, sometimes you have no mashke, no rotev, but the fire is not on the bottom. Fire is in a different room, in a different location, and the heat is blown in, and the food gets cooked over here, mikorech the hot air. So that also, this treif pli kapat would be sufficient with agola. You wouldn't need libun. The only time you need libun is when there's no roitev at the time that the bli occurred, and there was mamash al gabi ha'esh. So then you would need libun. So the Gemara points out there's a contradiction. In the end of Chumash Bamidbar, by the Hagola of Giul Klei Midyon, so the Torah says that some of the pots need libun and some of the pots need Hagola. In Parshas Tzav, when it says that you cooked the Korban Chatos and the Kli Nechoshes, so it says you have to do Hagola, and it doesn't speak of the possibility of libun. Why doesn't it say? And if you broiled the chatos in a broiler, that you need libun. So this is machlek zabai v'rova, and the last half an hour is also. Zabai says it's all the same thing. He uses a melitza from the pasuk in Iyov that says, Yagid olav reo. His friend will testify about him. The pasuk in the end of Chumash Bamidbar is megale that when it says in Parshas Tzav, Morak v'shuta b'mayim, that you need hagolas, lav dafka hagolas, sometimes libun. Whenever there's machlokes of Bai V'Rava, we pass like Rava, except for the six cases, the Al-Kigam. So we pass like Rava. Hey, Rava says, not like Abai. Rava says, by the Parshas Tzav, it was a terabola. The Korban Chatas was kosher. It was nivela into the clean nechoshes. Let's say I was broiling the Chatas. So Kol Zman doesn't come alos al shachar of tomorrow morning, the Chatas is still kosher. When it'll come alos al shachar, then it'll turn into it'll be nifsa belina, it'll turn into noisar. But Kol Zman doesn't come yet alos al shachar, it's hetera bola. So that's what Rabbi says. If it's still hetera bola and I'm going to do hagola before the Zman Isser comes, I'm going to do the hagola and the Merika Shtifa before it comes the Zman of alos al shachar of the morning. That's how the machlek is the Ramam and the Ravid, when he's supposed to do Mariko Shtifa, Davke, after this man that it becomes nice, or before this man, 2 days in Taisus and Zvochim, and the machlek is the Ramam and the Ravid. So in Shulchan Aruch, we assume that if you do the Hagola before it becomes an Iser, so what's left is only a Tam Kolush, so a Tam Kolush and Iser can't be Chal and a Tam Kolush. So that's why Hagola is sufficient by Heterabola. So it'll be the same, let's say, if you have Milchig, I have a broiler where I used to broil cheese sandwiches. I have a broiler I used to broil fleshiks. And I want to kasha the broiler and I want to make it parva. I want to use it for the opposite, let's say. So, would you need libun? So Rabbi Kivega says no. And Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, the Aruch HaShulchan, they say we should pass like Rabbi Kivega. The Shach says he would need libun. Rabbi Kivega's masik, he says no, that's a terabola. Since right now the cheese and the milk is kosher, if I'll cook fleishiks with the milchik pot, that'll make it into basa b'cholah. I'm going to kasher it. I'm going to do hagola. So even though the cheese was nivla b'li mashke, b'li roitev, and it was mamash al gabi huesh, you don't need libun over here. Since it's a terabola, so if you do hagola on a kli that really needs libun, all you have left is a tam kolush. And tam kolush, and Isa can be chal on the Tam Kolish. So that's the Yisoded, and that's what Rava pointed out. Based on the steer between the two psukim and Parshas Tzav, by Mariko Shtifa, by the Klei Kochim, it never says a word about Liban, just says Agola. Mariko Shtifa means Agola, and the end of Chumash Bamidbar, by Klei Midyon, it says sometimes Liban and sometimes Agola. So that's the answer. If you're doing Agola on a Klei, really should have needed Liban, but it's a Klei, it's a Terabola. So when you do Hagola, the tam that'll remain behind will be a tam kolush, and on a tam kolush, an isa can be chal. There's another kula that appears in the Gemara with respect to hetera bola that's known as not barnat. Not barnat is a Rashi Tevis that appears in the Yerideya. Some people from other yeshivas think that why everything is Rashi Tevis. So they thought that we made up this Rashi Tevis. We did not make up the Rashi Tevis. I'm not banat. It's in Yerideya. It's on every other page in Yerideya. Years ago, everything used to be Rashi Tevis here. Akum. Albert Einstein College of Medicine used to be Akum. All the funny Rashi Tevis, yeah? So the Gemara has this din of not banat. Let's say I have... I have a fleshig plate, and I have a burning hot fish. I just fried a fish, and I take the burning hot fish and I put it on the fleshig plate. So does it become fleshig? So I don't have any schmaltz on the plate. I used the plate for fleshigs an hour ago, and I washed it off, and there's no bien, but there's a blia fleshigs in the plate. And now I put a burning hot piece of parva fish on top of the fleshig plate. So the Gemara says that's called Nesinas Tam bar Nesinas Tam.
Wouldn't that already be fleshig?
Let's say somehow or another have a fleshig plate that's really fleshig, for some reason or another. So even if you put, and the plate is cold and the fish is burning hot. So when I put the parva fish on the fleshig plate, so true, the fleshig blia that was in the cold plate goes into the burning hot fish. But that's already Tam Sheni. It was the Tam Rishon of the Fleshiks was in the plate. And now it goes on the plate into the fish Tam Sheni. That's called Noisen Tam Bar Noisen Tam. That's the Rosh HaTevis Not Bar Not. So now the Gemara says you're permitted to take the part of the fish and put it on a milchik plate and put on butter if you want to. Dogum shola b'kaira muta lochlam b'kutach. If the kaira is fleshig, the plate is fleshig. If they're both hot, let's say I cooked parve spaghetti in a fleshig pot. And now I want to take the spaghetti, pour it into a milchik plate, and put in some butter. So we are machmer for that. Rashi's son-in-law either heard right or heard wrong. Rashi's son-in-law claims the Rivon, the one who finished off the Pirish Rashi on Maseches Makkos, so the Rivon claims that he heard from his father-in-law, and the other Balei Taisus said he must have had wax in his ears. He must have heard wrong. It's wrong. So we're machmer lechatchila for what the Rivon said, that if you have not banata yidei bishul, if you cooked the parve, you cooked the parve soup in a fleshik pot that was still ben yomo, so then you shouldn't pour it into a milchik pot and pour in milk or pour in butter. That's not banata yidei bishul. But if it's not banata yidei bishul, dogem she'olo b'kaira means the kaira is cold and the dogem are burning hot, or the kaira is hot and the dogem are cold. When one is hot, one is cold, so there'll be a little blia, but it's not as much blia as if there would have been if there would have been yidei bishul. So then that's a not banat the isura is asa, but not banat the hetera is muta. Why? So it's the same explanation it says in Yeridei. The not banat, the whole tam that's carried from the plate into the spaghetti, into the fish, is only going to be a tam kolish, and a tam kolish can't become later, an isur can't be chal on a tam kolish. So that's the two differences between hetera bala and isura bala. One is not banat. You go to Hokel by Hetera Bola, and the other kula is that you never need the Liban, Hagola is enough. And they're both based on the same principle that by Hetera Bola, once you lower the level of the Bliya to a Tam Kolosh, so then an Issa can't be Chal. People have a class now at 12:45? I should continue to 1, or I should stop now? I'll stop now. See after the story of Kashuks. Okay, maybe we'll continue tomorrow. What is the schedule for tomorrow? Forgot already? Filas Kalim.